Putting your money where your heart is, known as sustainable investing, is a growing financial phenomenon. Morgan Stanley recently launched an enormous training division dedicated to sustainable investing. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton gets under the hood on doing good with your money. That chat starts now.
Hello, and welcome back, and thanks for listening. Sustainable investing, putting money behind companies and projects that reflect an investor's morals, point of view, politics, even religion. The three big areas seeing a spike in impact investing are climate change, workplace diversity, and minority-owned businesses. But there are more like those, of course. Coming now is part two of our two-part chat with two impact investors. Investors seeing a steady rise in interest around this field.
The impact investors more want to make sure they're impacting things going on in this country. And that was an interesting change. And it's a pylon to that issue, which I found very interesting. And I really think this is an emerging impact thesis, is they want to influence issues such as poverty, unemployment, minority-owned businesses, things like that.
You'll hear Mark Curtis, who started his impact investing career in the 1980s with the anti-apartheid movement, and Lily Traeger. She is Morgan Stanley's Director of Investing with Impact. Okay, here we go. Lily, for market research purposes, how do you screen companies and how do you identify the ones you want to pull up?
So we think about sustainable and impact investing as a spectrum of approaches. So when it refers to screening, we think about that both in the negative sense, right? What are areas that you want to avoid, as well as in the positive sense? What are themes or areas that you actually want to lean into or proactively invest in? So we really work across many different sets of values. So for example, on the negative screening, right, it's not just your kind of traditional sin stock restrictions. It's rather expanded quite a bit beyond that. So looking to avoid companies that have human rights violations, right, that have instances of tax fraudulence or accounting fraudulence, that don't have diversity or independence in the context of their boards, right, thinking about other characteristics that are actually influencing the financials of a company that may pose risks and you would therefore want to avoid in terms of your investment process. And on the positive side, or thinking about leaning into certain themes, right, we categorize what we see as the greatest sort of sustainability challenges that we all face today as investors. And so with the top of that list is probably climate change, right? Water scarcity, food availability, these interconnected systemic issues. And as you think about investing positively towards these types of themes, right, you're really seeking to screen into companies that are developing solutions. So we're actually deriving revenue from products and services that are, you know, providing lower carbon energy sources or creating technologies that empower companies to utilize less energy or less water, less natural resources.
That's a tight net that you goes through screening, and you wouldn't be building it if the money wasn't there. And Mark, I'm wondering, did you see a tipping point in the last 30 years, or where was the tipping point when this became more mainstream, I guess you'd say? Was it like, was it when T-Boone got out of oil and got into solar, or was it something else?
You know, Jason, I'll make a kind of a broad social observation about that. Let me ask the audience, let me ask you all, when you buy a product today, do you look at the wrapping? Do you buy? Are you more likely to buy from a brand that you think is environmentally more positive?
Yes, I do.
Are you willing to? Are you more willing to buy? Are you more likely to buy from a company that you think has positive employment practices?
Absolutely.
Right.
If available, sure. Yeah.
So when you think about, when you ask me this question about is the market in terms of individuals, endowments, nonprofits, are you know, what is this market growing? Let me ask a question on your consumer behavior. Is impact now part of your decision criteria?
I'd have to say yes.
Okay. Now let's take it a step further. The workplace now. Are you more likely to work for a company that you think is a good corporate citizen? And specifically here in Silicon Valley, where we have a young workforce, average developer is 28 years old. So let's look at what's that behavior. They're twice as likely to buy a product that expresses that as a company. They're three times more likely to work for a company that is central to the ethics of that company. And when you think about it, it's now not such a big jump to integrate that into your investment portfolio or your investment thesis as an individual.
I am almost out of runway for my questions, but I'm smart enough to know when I don't know something. Did I miss anything that you wanted to talk about, Lily, that we did not get to yet?
Just building on what Mark's saying, because I think it's such a great point, right? As you think about where folks locally might have money to invest today, right, especially as a younger kind of demographic, we know from our survey that there's a lot of interest around pursuing sustainable investments as part of 401ks, right, retirement portfolios. And so thinking through, you know, this may be a way for companies to attract and retain millennial talent in competitive job markets is by being able to provide kind of sustainable investment funds as part of their 401ks.
And Mark, last word for you.
Yeah, I think one last final observation. There's still this skepticism of executing on this. And I think for people like Lily and myself, the question that we have to answer to that individual, that organization is these are your goals and objectives. This is what matters to you. Can we affirmatively say that we can invest your money and have the impact and hit the target on what they're trying to accomplish? And that's really going to be the final bridge to this. And that is what's happening. And I think people like Lily, who are really at the forefront of this industry, allow people like myself, who are client-facing, to say yes. Because that's the final hurdle, Jason, is I have this goal. I have this objective. I have these things that I believe in. Can I invest along those lines to have an impact? And we can affirmatively say yes. That's the final hurdle.
Okay, before we get all the way out of this conversation, before we have our next one, the study was rather deep, and you have to have some takeaways from this as an investor, as a researcher, and somebody who's been in this space for 30 years. What were some of the takeaways that kind of stood out for you with the data and the research?
Again, from a long-term perspective on this as an investment thesis, for me, it started in the 80s with anti-apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
Then it moved to, after the Valdez crisis and incident, became the all of those principles, the Valdez principles, and that was a major emerging part of impact investing. And then for a lot of our clients, it became into governance and employment issues.
Corporate governance.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think we know that sustainability has really been the leading issue, I think, around our clients with their impact investing. What I found interesting a little bit about our study, and it's a two-year kind of snapshot, was the impact investors more want to make sure they're impacting things going on in this country. And that was an interesting change. And it's a pylon to that issue, which I found very interesting. And I really think this is an emerging impact thesis. It's they want to influence issues such as poverty, unemployment, minority-owned businesses, things like that.
Yeah. Lily, what did you think about those trends?
I would just add to what Mark's saying that, look, Morgan Stanley has been at the forefront of really identifying this problem of, you know, lack of inclusive growth or inequality across some of the areas that you mentioned, Mark, right? There's global disparities between income, well-being, and living standards, and these are among some of the greatest challenges that we face today. And so I think investors are, frankly, realizing that and looking for investment opportunities that can drive impact on inclusive growth in the areas of finance or education or affordable housing and healthcare.
Fascinating space. Thank you both for sharing your expertise and your time today. Let's hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
That was Mark Curtis. Mark is number 5 on Barron's list of top 100 financial advisors in the country. He's worked in Silicon Valley for 36 years and works extensively in the sustainable investing field. And we also had Lily Traeger, who is Morgan Stanley's Director of Investing with Impact. For links to their work and their research in this area, please check out the story that goes with this week's show. It lives at KGORadio.com. All of our sourcing is in that story. Coming up after the break, we break out a cryptocurrency. Now, this one is also tied to impact investing. It's called Pink Coin. And the fourth segment is about live video streaming and just where that growing corner of the digital playing field is headed. It's all after the break. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.